1 Kings 20. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and fought against it. Then he sent messengers to the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, Thus says Ben-Hadad, Your silver and your gold are mine. Your most beautiful wives and children are also mine. The king of Israel answered and said, It is according to your word, my lord, O king, I am yours and all that I have. Then the messengers returned and said, Thus says Ben-Hadad, Surely I sent to you, saying, You shall give me your silver and your gold and your wives and your children. But by this time tomorrow I will send my servants to you, and they will search your house and the houses of your servants. And it shall come about that whatever is desirable in your eyes they will take in their hand and carry away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Please, observe and see how this man is looking for trouble. For he sent to me for my wives and my children and my silver and my gold, and I did not refuse him. And all the elders and the people said to him, Do not listen or consent. So he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king all that you do, all that you sent for to your servant at the first I will do. But this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent him and said, May the gods do so to me and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls of all the people who follow me. Then the king of Israel answered and said to him, Tell him, let not him who girds on his armor boast like him who takes it off. And as it came about when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking with the kings in the temporary shelters, that he said to his servants, Station yourselves. So they stationed themselves against the city. Now behold, a prophet approached King Ahab, king of Israel, and said, Thus says the Lord, Have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver them into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? So he said, Thus says the Lord, By the young men of the rulers of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall begin the battle? And he answered, You. Then he mustered the young men of the rulers of the provinces, and there were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, even all the sons of Israel, 7,000. They went out at noon, while Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the temporary shelters with the 32 kings who helped him. The young men of the rulers of the provinces went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out and told them, saying, Men have come out from Samaria. Then he said, If they have come out for peace, take them alive. Or if they have come out for war, take them alive. So these went out from the city, the young men of the rulers of the provinces, and the army which followed them. And they killed each his man, and the Arameans fled, and Israel pursued them, and Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, escaped on a horse with horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and struck the horses and chariots and killed the Arameans with a great slaughter. Then the prophet came near to the king of Israel and said to him, Go strengthen yourself and observe and see what you have to do, for at the turn of the year the king of Aram will come against you. Now the servants of the king of Aram said to him, Their gods are gods of the mountains. Therefore they were stronger than we, but rather let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, remove the kings each from his place, and put captains in their place, and muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice, and they did so. So it came about at the turn of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Arameans and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the sons of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went to meet them. And the sons of Israel camped before them like two little flocks of goats, but the Arameans filled the country. Then a man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, Thus says the Lord, because the Arameans have said the Lord is a God of the mountains, but he is not a God of the valleys, therefore I will give you all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So they camped one over against the other 7 days, and it came about that on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the sons of Israel killed of the Arameans 100,000 foot soldiers in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and the wall fell on 27,000 men who were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. And the servant said to him, Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please let us put sackcloth on our loins and ropes on our heads and go out to the kings of Israel. Perhaps he will save your life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put robes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Your servant Ben-Hadad says, Please let me live. And he said, Is he still alive? He is my brother. And now the men took this as an omen and quickly catching his word said, Your brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came out to him and he took him up into the chariot And Ben-Hadad said to him, "The cities which my father took from your father, I will restore, and you shall make your streets for yourself in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria." Ahab said, "And I will let you go with this covenant." So he made a covenant with him and let him go. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophet said to another by the word of the Lord, "Please strike me." But the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not listened to the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you have departed from me, a lion will kill you." And as soon as he had departed from him, a lion found him and killed him. Then he found another man and said, "Please strike me." And the man struck him, wounding him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. And the king passed by. He cried to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. For if any reason he is missing, then your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' And while the servant was busy here, and he was gone, and the king of Israel said to him, 'So your judgment shall be, you yourself have decided it.' Then he hastily took the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as he is one of the prophets. And he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have let go of your hand the man whom I have devoted to destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people.' And the king of Israel went to his house, sullen and vexed, and came to Samaria." Okay, let's go through this. Honestly, I'm still trying to figure out why Ahab takes such prominence in the text. Because he is obviously a fairly wicked king, but it seems like God had a special place for Ahab. And it may necessarily have been Ahab was so wicked, but it may have been his wife. I'm just talking out loud, just trying to figure out why he had such prominence. But so Ben-Hadad comes in, and Ahab and his fathers, they have some history with Ben-Hadad. He was in Aram, and so they come before him, and there must have been some peace or some kind of treaty. And he says, out of his whim, "Your silver and gold are mine. Your beautiful wives and your children are mine." And this has seemed to be a standard greeting. So he says, yes. And notice his response. He says, the king answered, this is verse 4, "It is according to your word, my lord, O king. I am yours and all that I have." No issue. So he must have, Ahab must have been a vassal state of Ben-Hadad. Next thing you know, that doesn't suffice, and Ben-Hadad says, "No, I'm telling you, I'm going to come down, and in fact, everything that is desirable in your eyes, I'm going to take away from you." The king of Israel responds and says, basically, "Yes, king, you know, whatever." But then he goes to his elders and says, "Hey, this guy is really going overboard. He's inciting something." He gets backing from his elders and his counselors and said, "Don't listen to him." And look at the change in language. Verse 4, "It is according to your word, my lord, O king, I am yours, all that I have." Then, later on, he says to him, verse 9, "Tell my lord the king all that you sent for your servant at the first I will do, but this thing I cannot do." And then look to verse 11. "Then the king of Israel answered and said, 'Tell him, let not whom girds on his armor boast like him who takes it off.'" In other words, you haven't won anything yet, right? So don't let the guy who puts the armor on, you know, which means that he hasn't even fought yet, don't boast about your victory unless you fought. And so he's basically inciting war right now. But notice the language, "Oh Lord, my king," to, "Hey, tell that guy." And so his whole demeanor changes right then and there. And so you recognize that what Ahab is doing, he's inciting rebellion. He is now offended, King Ben-Hadad. And so they come up, the king has all these princes, and he's got a drinking problem. And so this guy is drinking like during the day, and that becomes his demise in this regard. So he goes to this place. Prophet, this is probably Micaiah. It's not Micah, it's Micaiah. Almost definitely it's Micaiah. And he comes and he tells the Lord, or he tells Ahab, that the Lord is going to fight this thing. And how is he going to do it? He's going to do it with the your chief. And this would be the kind of like the princes. In fact, in Ben-Hadad, when he says he had 32 kings, they weren't kings, they were princes. And so we're not talking about other kingdoms. They're just talking about leaders in each of the different cities in Damascus. And so it's you don't have to have this idea like, you know, 32 different countries are gathering it. No, they're just like little chieftains in little cities in Damascus, and they've all gathered together. But notice these are not warriors, and we'll find that out a little bit later on. And so the prophet says they're going to go down. In fact, you're going to take your princes, you know, your leaders, chieftain leaders, similar to the ones that Ben-Hadad has gotten, 32 of those, you're going to take them and they're going to slaughter them. Who's going to lead them? Ahab, you're going to lead them. So they go out. These men are, this is 16 says, and they went out at noon. Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the temporary shelters. So these were basically men of leisure. The princes that he's with, they're men of leisure. They're not warriors. And so they're getting drunk. And then Ben-Hadad probably gives the worst advice that you can give in this situation. He says, if they are coming out for peace, this is what I want you to do. I want you to keep them alive. If they're coming out for war, I want you to keep them alive. And so he's basically straitjacketed his whole army. And so they're not meant to do it. So obviously they got slaughtered by these guys. Now, most likely the reason why they lost, we can figure this out later on. And in verse 24, it says, and do this thing, remove the kings from each from his place and put captains in their place. So what happened was that he sent out these princes. They were not warriors, and they went out to battle. As soon as the chieftains of the Israelites begin to wipe out their soldiers, these guys fled. And so the next time it came around, they said, okay, they're trying to figure out why we lost. God must be the God of the mountains. He's not the God of the valleys, so we're going to take them and replace the captains because they fled, replace the chieftains, the princes, with soldiers. And so the men would have more courage to fight because they won't flee so easily. And that's basically how they lost the first time. And so now, as the word according to the Lord, that next time year round, they're going to come back, and it's exactly what they do. And God, now, he's not necessarily defending Israel, he's defending his own name. He said, oh, so they think I'm the God of the mountain? I'm going to show that I'm also the God of the valley. And he goes, and he totally wipes them out. Excuse me. He wipes them out in this place, and 100,000 Arameans, foot soldiers, die in one day, and the rest fled. And even when they fled, a wall fell on these men. And so you can see that God is rendering his judgment over the Arameans here. And unfortunately, when that happens, next thing you know, Ben-Hadad comes out and he seeks mercy. King of Israel, Ahab, basically grants him mercy, and in fact even calls him his brother, which leads to another son of the prophet to come along. And this is kind of, you know, prophets, they always do things very strange. It's just the way they do things is just on another level. And I think this helps us to understand Bobby Connor a little bit better when we read these kind of prophets. And the prophet comes and he turns to him and he says, basically, strike me. And the man refused and says, well, you're going to die. And lion's going to come and eat you up. And that's exactly what happens. Finds another person and he says, strike me. And he strikes him. And it's all part of the prophet's plan because he has to seem like a wounded soldier. And so he goes to Ahab. And then again, by his own words, I was guarding this man, this person. I was told that my life is, you know, if I lose this guy, then it's my life. And Ahab says, well, yeah, according to your word, that sounds about right. And then the word of the Lord comes and says, that's exactly what you've done. You've been entrusted. You were meant to not guard, but really render God's judgment over Ben-Hadad. And you didn't do that. So it's going to be your life for his life and your people for his people. And then that kind of ends this chapter. And then we read later on about Ahab's treachery and Jezebel's plot. But, I mean, you see this passage, you know, a lot of times, and it's kind of reassuring in so many ways, a lot of times God, even though he uses someone not as good, or in fact we could say even evil, like Ahab, but God goes to protect his own name. And, you know, oh, I'm the God of the mountains. I'm going to let everyone know that I'm actually the God of everywhere. It's this verse. In verse 28, it says, "Then the man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, 'Thus says the Lord, because the Arameans have said, the Lord is a God of the mountains, but he is not a God of the valleys. Therefore, I will give all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" And it's this constant reminder that he is the Lord, that he can really defend himself. And he'll even use unsavory men like Ahab to make sure that he is glorified and that people know that he is the Lord. And I think that's a really great lesson for us to learn in terms of God's sovereignty. You know, God can very easily defend his own name. And we just play a part of this drama or this narrative. And God's going to use people to do it, but ultimately God's going to protect his own name. And, you know, there's especially in the political realm around, and, you know, so many people say so many different things, and it's almost as if it's all upon us to protect God and protect his glory. And God can very easily take care of himself. And I think that's something that we really have to take to heart. Yes, God is going to use man, and that's going to be the agent. Like, Ahab is ultimately the agent of God's vengeance. But God does it not on behalf of Ahab. God does it on behalf of his own name. And it's just this beautiful picture of his sovereignty, and that God's will is going to be established. You know, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they shall prevail. And there's something about when God sets his mind to do something, it's going to be done. The great thing is, hopefully, you know, he'll use us, and he wants to use you, but if not you, he'll just use somebody else. Because, again, many of the plans in a man's heart, but the plans of the Lord, they shall prevail. In other words, they're going to come about in this way. And it seems, I mean, another sub-theme woven through this, it seems as if, I mean, just in a real simple way, that God continually gives Ahab opportunity. And it goes into the theme of, you know, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. Remember, I told you it's all actually one whole book. It should be 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th Kings, but in any case. But it goes to the simple theme from the beginning of that is when a ruler obeys God, God's blessing comes. When he disobeys the Lord, then his judgment comes upon him and upon the people. And so we see in this chapter, Ahab listens to the man of God, listens to the prophet, the word of the Lord, and blessing flows. Victories come. The moment he stops listening, thus dealing with Ben-Hadad, guess what? Judgment comes. And this chapter really shows us this simple black and white picture. You obey God, you listen to the word of the Lord, and you're faithful, surely blessing will follow you. You don't do that, surely judgment is going to come your way. And it's such a stark contrast. So let's close our eyes today. We're going to finish 1 Kings. You know, two more days, and it's perfect timing before I go off on my sabbatical. And so, I mean, just going back to the overriding theme of this. In this chapter, we see Ahab obeys the Lord, and victory comes. Ahab does not obey the Lord, judgment comes. And it's important that we recognize God's sovereignty. And really, our obedience to that sovereignty. Brothers and sisters, it's not rocket science. It's actually quite easy. Or I should say, it's quite simple. It sometimes not easy. We obey the Lord. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Blessing, prosperity will come to you and to your people. I guess in our context, our family. You disobey the Lord, judgment comes. Jesus even says, if you love me, you will obey me. It's so simple. Whoever has my commands, he is the one who loves me. So this is not just an Old Testament idea, actually woven all through the New Testament. And so if there is any level of disobedience today in your life, let's go before the Lord. Let's have a talk with him about that and repent.
See you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for swift obedience. If there is something in your life right now that you're not obeying the Lord in, let's pray for the strength and courage to obey. Obedience leads to blessing. Disobedience leads to judgment. Again, it's the whole theme of the Kings. And it affects not only you, but the people around you. And so let's put aside those things that make us stumble. Let's put on Christ, who forgives and who comes and heals and forgives our iniquities. Let's pray. Let's lift up our community as they battle with cancer and go through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for that word of salvation to go forth as well as that word of healing. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's open door and His provision. Go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China today. Huh? Let's pray for God's hand upon this country. Let's pray even kind of the handover and celebrations that are happening, that God will really speak to China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu and the team there, and pray that they will continue to grow and God will continue to protect them. Pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and pray for the churches. Let's just ask Holy Spirit to just breathe His wind over this country, and that they would rule peaceably. Let's pray for the board. Let's ask God's wisdom and His hand to be upon our brothers and sisters on the board. Let's pray for protection over their families, and that that really the wisdom of God would flow through all the decisions and all the plans that are made. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. So pray for the men's ministry, the Monday prayer, Pure Desire, men's fraternity, and the women's ministry. Pray for Lift and discipleship classes. Pray for the young adults, single life workshop that's still going on right now. Pray for the meetings on Saturday. And pray for Yahweh Eats and for Springs, Love After Marriage is starting. Pray that more couples would sign up and really engage in Love After Marriage. Huh? Let's pray. Thank you. For house churches, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, and Robin Hood, let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead the last meeting of the season, that there would be good closure and that good plans would be made over the summer to grow spiritually and people will be ministered to each other. And lastly, it's not on the board, but if you could pray for me today. I have a meeting at 12:30 today with some very senior Chinese officials, and I don't know how I got into this meeting, but hopefully this could be a really good beginning of a relationship. And many senior leaders are in Hong Kong for the handover celebrations, the 20th anniversary this Saturday, and so it's an opportunity to build a really good relationships with some religious leaders and other people involved in security. And so we're having a meeting in Causeway Bay at 12:30. So if you can pray that the meeting would go well, that I would have a lot of favor with these officials, and but particularly pray that our churches in China would be protected during this time as well, right? If we can lift up. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you again for that reminder, Lord. Obedience, God, leads to blessing. Lord, disobedience, God, leads to disaster. And so I pray, Lord, that we would just set that deep in our hearts, God, and that we would love you with all that we are, all that we have, God. That's the road to prosperity, Lord. That's the road to your heart and to your blessings. And so just teach us and change us, God. Watch over us today. Lord, give us favor, Lord, in all that we do as we seek to give glory to Jesus in all that we do. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. See you tomorrow.